You're listening to Consider This, episode 129, for January 11th, 2016.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, happy new year. Whenever, wherever, and whoever you are, welcome to the first episode for 2016 of Consider This, a podcast that features my conservative commentary and highlights your feedback all in just 10 minutes or less, or it's free. I'm Doug Payton, the one about to lose his shirt giving away all these free podcasts. The home, the base, and the hub of activity for this podcast is the website, considerthis.ctpodcasting.com. Show notes are there as well as ways to get in touch via email, phone, Facebook, Google+, and the comment section. That's CT as in conservative talk. Minimum wage research, racism in Oregon, and Democrat versus socialist. That's coming up. I'd like to celebrate two new likes on the Facebook page. Two more folks who have made an intelligent decision, James Bennett and Mark Payton. Welcome to the group, guys. Now you too can keep up to date with various news stories between episodes and discuss things with others on the page. Thanks so much. And no, the last name of Payton on one of those is no coincidence. It is indeed my cousin Mark, who I must say is a truly fantastic artist. Please search for MP Graphics on Facebook or hit the link in the show notes for examples of his work, some of which are available for purchase. Yeah, we're cousins, but man, he really is that good. Increasing the minimum wage is an inefficient way to reduce poverty. Raising the minimum wage has only limited benefits in the war against poverty, due, in part, because relatively few of those falling below the poverty line actually receive the wage. Many of the benefits from raising the wage tend to go to higher-income families, and research shows that raising wages kills jobs through higher costs to employers. That's not me talking, although I have said as much in previous shows so I can understand the confusion. No, that's David Newmark, a professor of economics and director for the Center for Economics and Public Policy at the University of California, Irvine. He researched the minimum wage for the San Francisco Federal Reserve, and these are his conclusions. So now we have an arm of the federal government doing its own research and coming to these conclusions. Can we put this issue to bed now? Well, no, we can't. There's still too much politics smeared all over this, and too many people with entrenched ideas and too many axes to grind. What he does suggest for combating poverty is enhancing the earned income tax credit, which targets poor families rather than poor workers. Some poor families have no workers, so a minimum wage increase doesn't affect them, and a single worker may be supporting just him or herself or a family of six. Anyway, if you want more info or a link to share with your social media peeps, it's in the show notes at the website. I'm hopeful that this might change some minds, but hold not thy breath. A group of armed anti-government activists, about 20, occupied the visitor center at a federal wildlife refuge in Oregon, vowing to occupy the outpost for years to protest the federal government's treatment of a pair of local ranchers set to report to prison. I'm not going to go into the reasons behind what they did. I think that they are generally in the wrong, and even the family that they're supporting with these protests doesn't support them. What I was noticing most is that my Facebook feed lit up with charges of racism. People were asking, where's the National Guard? If these guys were black, the guard would be all over them like they were in Ferguson. Really? Okay, I have a question. Why was the National Guard called into Ferguson? Because of the looting and burning of private property that had been going on. Each night, it was a real and imminent threat. So finally, 9 days later, the governor called them in. I have a timeline linked in the show notes, so you can check me on that. But on day 3 in Oregon of what was essentially an armed sit-in, with no shots fired and no property being hauled away or burned down, a double standard was being evoked. I'm sorry, but these guys were no imminent threat to anyone. Well, except maybe for people wishing to get those information pamphlets about the local flora and fauna for some weekend reading. There was no urgency to get an armed response in there quickly, especially 6 days earlier than they were called in to Ferguson. This isn't a double standard, because the situations were entirely different, suggesting that the National Guard would have been called in by day three if they were black, was based on what seems to be emerging as a mythology around the events of Ferguson. First, it was the hands up, don't shoot thing, which every investigation debunked. Now, if the National Guard doesn't show up in 48 hours, it must be due to racism. Folks, all I'm asking is this. Isn't there enough actual racism in this world without having to manufacture it from thin air using false or exaggerated claims? Let's just take a breath, and then focus on what is wrong rather than blow other things out of proportion. We want to eradicate racism, but if everything is racism, then nothing is. Let's just say that's not entirely helpful. Hillary Clinton is currently the frontrunner in the Democratic presidential race. Bernie Sanders is a distant second, but he refers to himself as a socialist. Chris Matthews tried to get Hillary to specify the difference between a Democrat and a socialist, but couldn't seem to get a specific answer. Well, any answer.
What's the difference between a socialist and a Democrat?
Well,
is that a question you want to answer, or would you rather not?
You'd have to ask.
Well, see, I'm asking you. You're a Democrat. He's a socialist. Would you like somebody to call you a socialist? I wouldn't like somebody calling me a socialist.
But I'm not one.
Okay. What's the difference between a socialist and a Democrat?
Last question. I can tell you what I am. I am a progressive Democrat. I'm a progressive
How's
Democrat.
How's that different than a socialist?
Who likes to get things done and who believes that we are better off in this country when we're trying to solve problems.
And she babbles on and on and on, deflecting from the actual question. You know, maybe she can't or won't identify a difference because there isn't one. So what do you think? Will this research change any minds in the minimum wage debate? Will it or won't it change yours? Is the handling of the Oregon Visitor Center occupation an example of a racial double standard? And what is the difference between a Democrat and a socialist? Is there really one? Well, write to consider this at ctpodcasting.com or call 267-CALL-CT0, 267-225-5280 to leave your feedback. Or you can go to considerthis.ctpodcasting.com. Your feedback, pro or con, can make it onto this show and you can have an impact. So start the new year resolving to listen, respond, and always consider this.